The question has often been asked why the Syrians seem to be so involved in Earth's development. If it is indeed true that Sirius is a trinary star group, as the Dogon tribe's astronomical traditions suggest, could it be that Sol, Earth's sun, is or once was the third star? If that is the case, Earth may have been part of a territorial dispute among the Syrians from its very inception. This could explain why the negative Syrians consider it to be their right to do as they wish on Earth and why they point an accusing finger at other extraterrestrials for wrongly interfering with Syrian internal affairs, thus creating many historical disputes. The Syrians may consider Earth to be part of their territory. In present time, Sol is only 8.7 light-years away from the Sirius system, which has been considered by astronomers to be part of our local star family. Many of the early Syrians were quite adept at genetic engineering. During the Earth inception, the physical Syrians placed a latent DNA code within the early humans. When Earth beings reach a certain vibratory frequency as a race, this code will be triggered. This code will assist those on Earth in remembering humanity's galactic past. Contemporary negative Syrians are terrified of this. They have continually kept themselves from transitioning into fourth density for fear of non-existence. They fear that if Earth transitions, they will transition also and cease to exist. They believe if they keep society in fear, Earth will not be able to make the shift. As a whole, they cannot determine humanity's fate. For Earth, humans have more power than the negative Syrians realize. But they will continue. They know no other way. Whether dealing with physical extraterrestrials or archetypal energy, the Syrian identity is entwined with humanity's. It is rich with knowledge as well as challenge. One must always remember Sirius as the triad and what it represents: integration from polarity, which is the destiny of Earth. One, some astronomers, such as Van den Bosch and Finsen at the Union Observatory in the 1920s, and more recently, D. Lauterborn, are theorizing that Sirius is indeed a trinary star group, but no viable data has been uncovered to confirm that claim. Two, the Illuminati are not only comprised of Syrians. Other groups, such as Orion, are part of the Illuminati structure. Three, these beings represent only a small percentage of Sirius consciousness. Since the Earth inception, the planet has developed some very strong positive relationships with Sirius beings who have been some of the main supporters of humanity. Next headline is The Winds of Orion, which is Chapter 5. Begirt with many a blazing star, stood the great giant Aljibar, Orion, hunter of the beast. His sword hung gleaming by his side, and on his arm, the lion's hide scattered across the midnight air the golden radiance of its hair. Longfellow. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Job 38. When two opposite polarities meet, they are naturally attracted. When they attempt fusion, rather than integration, they produce a force of enormous energy. They produce sparks. They produce change. Sometimes they even produce pain. This was the case with the civilizations of Lyra that attempted integration within the Vega and Sirius star systems. The conflict began playing out there, but was energetically expanded to include Orion. Its beginnings were as a Lyran conflict. Through generations it evolved into a new race's war, that of the Orions. As generations passed, each side lost touch with what they were fighting for. Yet the anguish continued. The stakes were clearly marked. The negative side perpetuated the idea of service to self. Within their philosophy, if one served the self, the whole was served. What they did not realize was that they were denying the whole by the way they chose to carry out this philosophy. This translated as the need for domination. These were dark times indeed. Domination entailed behavior that Earth humans have never experienced. Genetic manipulation of bloodlines was common, in an attempt to dilute or concentrate power. What humans know as black magic was a common practice. Beings were so saturated with their own fear that they struck out at all who were different. The Earth legends of sword and sorcery are dim remembrances carried in the etheric cell memory from the dark times of Orion. The positive side epitomized the idea of service to others. It was their belief that the only way to survive was to be subservient, even at the expense of the self. So an interesting dynamic was played out. There were those individuals who were the dominators and those who were all too willing to play the victim role. These positives felt that to support the whole they must serve the whole and relinquish the self. In reality, they were denying themselves as being a valid portion of that whole. The Aryan civilization was one of the very few that evolved into a state of technological advancement while still being in a state of intense spiritual conflict. Eons of time passed while the drama continued playing out. It began with basic emotional manipulation all the way to the other end of the spectrum, manipulation using highly advanced technology, Cal tools. Reincarnationally speaking, the same souls incarnated time and again, switching sides, trying to find a way to bring the whole struggle into balance. Within Aryan history, there has always been underground resistance. Throughout the ages, its strength ebbed and flowed like the pulses of their red giant Betelgeuse. Usually they would be discovered by the negatives, disbanded, and punished. Anytime they built up some momentum, it radiated too loudly and they were found. As the philosophy of the resistance solidified, it became apparent that they needed to squelch the radiation of their ideas. They decided instead to symbolically absorb. They allowed people to come to them. They became like a black hole which was unable to be seen, but the force and momentum of their energy was as powerful as a silent wind. Their organization was thus called the Black League. The symbol of their struggle became the Black Dragon. A new aspect of the drama began to unfold. Now there were three facets to the struggle: there were the dominators, the victims, and the resistance, fueled by the friction of two polarities. The Black League became quite successful in thwarting the efforts of the dominators, known as the Aryan Empire. However, it was only enough to reduce their momentum to a standstill. An energy impasse was reached. Within the souls of these repressed people existed a great desperation. They knew the extent of the Aryan Empire's control. The Empire had devised ways to control astral bodies. Death was no longer freedom. Many individuals studied with heretic teachers to learn the ancient knowledge of dimensional consciousness travel. Few were successful, but those who were found a way out of the Aryan system forever. Through focused concentration and disengagement from the Aryan mass conscious belief systems, a small percentage of individuals were able to leave their bodies, die, and successfully target or home in on beings who had escaped or were reincarnated on Earth from Aryan. Once these beings were targeted, the Aryan entity was able to create a window through which he or she could travel. When he or she came through that window and incarnated on Earth, that being became lost in the Earth mass consciousness. This was a safety mechanism. If they did not know their own identity, they could not be pursued by the Aryan Empire. The escapees then entered Earth's reincarnational cycle and most likely continued to play out the Aryan drama unconsciously within their soul patterns. At times they could have been immediately pursued through the window by Aryan Empire representatives. Often these Empire representatives became caught in Earth's mass consciousness as well and had to enter the reincarnational cycle. When they incarnated, they carried their old Aryan desire for control with them. As their desperation grew, the Black League decided to fight even harder. They had people who played both sides. Smuggled reports from informants resulted in an even more intense resistance effort. They began to employ tactics borrowed from the dominators. All this was done in the name of freedom. They eventually learned that freedom was elusive, and the conflict intensified. With all of their efforts, the Black League could not understand why they were not being successful in liberating the victims. They became discouraged. The people hungered for a form of spirituality, but all that was present was annoying emptiness and fear. Nothing worked. For a few generations, the Black League remained stagnant, only an idea and nothing more. Then something miraculous occurred. During generations of spiritual gestation, a seed began to grow. A soul incarnated who embodied all the hopes and dreams of the Aryan races and had none of the hatred or fear, When he was born, he was safely contained in an energetically and emotionally neutral environment deep within the planet so he would not become polarized. At adulthood he began to teach. What he taught began to shed new light on the struggle. What he proposed could end it once and for all. He taught universal laws. Positivity cannot be achieved through negativity. The Black League was fighting fire with fire, only creating a blaze instead of peace. One must integrate positivity and negativity to the balance point. One must love, not fear. The idea of peace and freedom must be loved so much that one is willing to live it in one's soul despite outside manifestations. The Black League thus learned that their intentions were good, but their actions only caused more of what they despised. This realization occurred on mass levels. It opened new doors of spirituality for the people of these oppressed worlds. They had a long way to go, but at least they now knew where to start. Once the dynamic began to be understood from higher levels, it was decided that they would transmute this energy by moving outward into the galaxy and starting fresh. From these higher levels they called upon the founders to assist them in choosing a world. Of primary concern was an assurance that all the tools were provided on this new world for these adventurous beings to begin transmutation of the Orion energy. Free will, choice was the primary tool, as well as a latent DNA code that would trigger a desire for societal preservation when if it became possible for them to self-destruct. The world that was chosen was Earth. The founders then began engaging various physical groups to carry out the Earth Inception. See Chapter 9. Earth has manifested the Orion drama in an attempt to balance polarity throughout humankind's history. The fall of Atlantis, the Roman Empire, and the ongoing religious wars are all examples of memory patterns from Orion that are emerging to be cleared. Throughout all of these dramas the human race has survived and has kept total oppression at bay. Humanity continues to play out the same dynamic, victims, perpetrators, and resistance. However, this time light is beginning to spread and even the resistance is beginning to learn early on that one can't fight fire with fire. The contemporary Orion civilization, existing in the same time continuum as present-day Earth, has already healed its conflict. Because Earth is still playing out Orion's past in an attempt to balance it for itself, the primary contact humanity receives from Orion has been judged to be negative. The Men in Black phenomenon as well as some manifestations of the Illuminati structure are playing out the past Orion need for control. The Men in Black, MIBs, have several origins. Some are human incarnations from Orion and or negatively oriented Sirius energy. Others are actual past Orions who have traveled forward in time to present-day Earth. These include Empire representatives who were caught in Earth's mass consciousness as they pursued Orion escapees. They perceive Earth as a threat. From their point of view, as humanity awakens and liberates itself, it magnetizes the oppressed Orion beings to seek freedom here. They want to keep these windows of opportunity closed for the victims of Orion. Keep Earth unempowered, and stay in total control. The MIBs are only one manifestation of this idea. Generally it is played out on Earth in a much more subtle way. Those individuals who carry the oppressive patterns from Orion act from their soul memory and are not necessarily conscious in their desire for absolute control. In researching 20th century MIB encounters, one comes across the ironic behavior of these beings. They function at a very autonomous level and seem to never claim for themselves the power that they so single-mindedly attempt to wrest from humans. This may suggest that the MIB is only a pawn in perhaps an even more bizarre power struggle. The Orion drama is not an experiment done to someone by someone else. All those who choose to be a part of the Earth transmutation do so through their free will. This transmutation, integration will affect the entire galactic family created through the dimensional infusion. This would initiate the beginning processes of the integration back through the prism of Lyra. The integrated polarities can thus be termed the Orion Light. There were stages built into the transmutation project from which the founders would be able to gauge its progress. The first stage was a simple seeding and developing of third density life into a strong genetic strain on Earth. The subsequent stages involved various developments of civilization. The crucial stages occurring presently upon the earth, the mass reawakening of millions of souls to a greater spiritual purpose. This awakening occurs naturally and begins to accelerate a widening of the gap between the positive and negative poles, as seen presently within society. The accentuation of this gap serves to polarize and highlight the choices society may take, making it clear that choices must be made at this point in time. Humanity does not have the ugliness and pain of a tormented past to the extent that the Orions had. As Earth reawakens, all the tools become visible for humanity to claim responsibility for the whole and the self. The painful Orion memories may continue to surface, but the healing of them will occur through humanity's proclamation of freedom and choice. When the dimensional infusion occurred, there were some individual and group consciousnesses who chose to remain dormant. They allowed themselves to serve as archetypes, and could be awakened as needed. Some even allowed fragments of themselves to incarnate. An example of this is the consciousness known as Merlin. During the time of the Orion drama, the friction between the two polarities awakened the sleeping magician. He became a guiding force in the drive to integrate from both a physical and a non-physical point of view. Fragments of his consciousness would incarnate intermittently to spark a memory of the past and a vision of the future. He has gone by many names on many worlds, but he always mirrors one's own beauty as well as one's ugliness. His energy has been present in association with Earth right from the inception. The Earth inception will be examined more thoroughly in the coming chapters. For the time being, it must be shared that this drama has been created to be a success. Most who incarnate upon Earth are involved, to varying degrees, in the Orion drama. Everyone is here by choice. The instant that one begins operating from a belief that humanity is here against its will is the instant that personal and planetary power has been surrendered. The Orions had the capability to target Earth individuals in Earth's past, present and future. Next headline is Earth's Pleiadian Cousins. Many a night from yon derived casement ere I went to rest, did I look upon great Orion, sloping slowly to the west. Many a night I saw the Pleiads, rising through the mellow shade glitter like a swarm of fireflies tangled in a silver braid. Tennyson. During the early development of the Lyran system, the first friction between polarities began to occur. Some Lyrans manifested the idea of the feminine polarity, intuitive and allowing. They believed the path to reintegration was through inner development. Other Lyrans, however, polarized to the masculine. Their philosophy upheld the notion that in order to evolve, they had to dominate the known universe. This caused much dissension between the two. As the Lyran civilization developed, a group of Lyrans decided they would prefer to develop their culture away from what they perceived were negative influences. Thus they searched the galaxy for a new home. In their search they found a young planet rich in natural resources. This planet was Earth. For several generations this group resided on Earth, coexisting peacefully with the developing primate race. However, over a long period of time they found that they were not adapting to Earth's physical and electromagnetic environment as well as they desired. During this time they incorporated small amounts of genetic material from the primates to assist them in assimilating to Earth's environment. Over generations their DNA changed slightly, allowing them to become more adapted to Earth. While these Earth Lyrans were incorporating primate genetics into themselves, other groups of Lyrans were on the planet to carry out the founder's wishes as well as their own by inserting Lyran genetics into the primates. The arrival of these Lyrans refueled the conflicts the Earth Lyrans initially escaped from, so they chose to find another planetary system to colonize. Desiring to build a new culture where they could become isolated from old conflicts rooted in their past, they explored the region widely before they decided on an open cluster of young blue stars known as the Pleiades. When the Pleiadian star system began to be colonized by Earth Lyrans, it was intended to be a very balanced, independent race. This was reflected in their choice of a new, stable star cluster. More than anything else, They desired to create a culture based on harmony, truth, and unconditional love. Once the colonization plan became known, those of Liran descent who desired a new home decided to colonize other areas of the Pleiades star cluster as well. These early Pleiadians, the previous Earth Lirans, possessed highly developed intuitive skills, as well as an inbred desire to create a community lifestyle. The whole was as important as the self. Even with this desire, it took these beings generations to mature and create their own identity separate from their Liran roots. For generations they developed this new culture, which was philosophical in nature and technologically progressing at a rate perfect for their development. Though there were several periods of conflict, the cultural base that these new Pleiadians created remained stable for many thousands of years. Over generations, the community-oriented Pleiadians began to favor peace and tranquility so much that they learned to invalidate all forms of negativity. Deeper and deeper they submerged their natural humanoid tendencies, until a great emptiness appeared within their being. There was no conflict, resolution, or learning. A voice cried out from within them. There was a portion of them that desired to be heard. From this well of despair they reached out to their Liran forefathers. When the call was answered, the Lirans were surprised to find a culture that had virtually cut itself off from creation. The Pleiadians had no knowledge of what was occurring in the universe around them. They were unaware of the anguish of Orion, even though they were both descendants of Lyra. When the Pleiadians were made aware of the Orion struggle, their own sleeping dragon awakened. They felt a passion. Once again they felt alive, a deep mission was sparked within their souls. They offered to be of service within the Orion struggle. It was then that they committed themselves to fighting the Orion negativity. Thus it began. They entered the Orion struggle through many vehicles. Some souls chose to incarnate directly into the system within both polarity orientations, positive and negative, in order to understand the struggle. The majority of these Pleiadians incarnating into the Orion struggle became ensnared. It is easy to enter the Orion reincarnational cycle, but virtually impossible to escape. Others chose to ally themselves with the Black League or continue to incarnate within the Pleiadian system and attempt to contain the expansion of the Orion Empire. They fought with every ounce of their being against the negativity they saw around them. Unconsciously, they also fought the negativity still further within themselves. The struggle continued. The Pleiadians fought as zealously against the Orion negativity as they did their own latent shadow selves. Instead of finding a truth within, they only perpetuated their hatred of their own negativity. It was only when the Orion Empire destroyed one of their populated planets that they disengaged themselves actively from the Orion struggle. The lifeless, charred planet still stands in their system as a reminder of their past actions. When that planet was obliterated, the Pleiadians were devastated. Finally, an impasse was reached. On the highest levels of being, every consciousness involved in the Orion drama took a step back. They evaluated the situation. It became obvious that the resolution needed to occur from a different angle. They agreed to extend the conflict to another arena within the galaxy. The Pleiadians were faced with a choice. Would they return their energies to their home worlds, or would they agree to resolve their own issues, as well as the Orion struggle, once and for all? Initially, they chose to return home. This allowed them to gather their strength and search the very depths of their souls to find a way to become whole. They were so afraid of the negativity that they became immobilized. They waited. They pondered and they faltered. While they waited, the Inception Project began in full force upon the Earth. The Lirans were the physical directors of the project, under the founders, accepting assistance from other physical groups such as the Sirians. It quickly became apparent that they needed a genetic structure of terrestrial as well as extraterrestrial origin for their Inception Project. They contacted the Pleiadians. At first, the Pleiadians expressed reluctance about becoming involved with Earth once again. However, the Lirans pointed out possible Pleiadian benefits with adept craftiness. knowing that the Pleiadians had originally incorporated Earth's primate genetics into themselves. The Lyrans admitted that they needed certain aspects of Pleiadian DNA for the developing Terran species on Earth. Unknowingly, they also created a way for the Pleiadians to face their negativity once and for all. It was proposed that a DNA transfer from the Pleiadians into the Terran species over a long period of time would create a race of humanoids who would be terrestrial but would also have extraterrestrial roots. The closest ancestors of these Earth humans would be the Pleiadians, and through these family ties the Pleiadians would be allowed to be involved with the Earth species development. During this involvement they would observe the developing race, interact intermittently in order to keep them on course, and learn about human negativity. This vicariously would heal the pain of the Pleiadian past. After some reluctance to associate once again with the Lyrans, a group of Pleiadians finally agreed. From this agreement came thousands of years of Pleiadian interaction with nearly every primitive culture upon the Earth. Drawings of space beings and spacecraft adorn many cave walls, and many ancient documents record the actions of these gods who came from the sky. They saw themselves as gods no more than today's humans do. However, from the point of view of a primitive people, they surely must have seemed like gods. During certain developmental stages of a humanoid species, it is common to give up personal power to a godlike or magical figure. This became widespread, and soon the Pleiadians began to relish the power they were given. They began to wield it. Some began using fear in order to manipulate. Their soul-level agreement to learn from the developing Earth transformed into a satiation of personal desire. Many ancient myths concerning jealous gods are directly linked to these extraterrestrial beings from other systems, including the Pleiades. When these power binges occurred, it was necessary for these extraterrestrials to be reminded of their purpose. Very often resentment built up on the part of the Pleiadians toward other visiting groups. For a period of a few thousand years the Pleiadians grew in power, and then were consistently reminded of their place. The irony of the situation soon became known to them. They had wished to get in touch with their negativity. Their wish had been granted. During these interactions the Pleiadians involved with Earth were all from the same time continuum. Their contacts were consistent with their development. They had not yet mastered the complex technology of time-space manipulation. It wasn't until the 20th century that Earth has begun to pull in Pleiadian contact from many different time frames simultaneously. Though contact continued intermittently until the present day, it has slowed in comparison to earlier times. Most Pleiadians no longer consider Earth humans to be children, and they allow humanity to make its own choices. Once Earth began its technological era, it was watched very closely for the critical mass necessary to activate the DNA code for preservation of the species. Since the 1940s, both physical and non-physical extraterrestrials have been monitoring humanity and attempting communication, mostly in subtle ways. The Pleiadians were the first to begin a major benevolent contact program physically with Earth. Although this was quietly carried out as early as the 1930s, it began to be noticed on a wider scale in the 1970s. For a Swiss named Billy Mayer has documented hundreds of hours of communication with the Pleiadian cosmonauts MJs. He also possesses a large number of photographs of the Pleiadians' spacecrafts which, using photographic technology, have never been proven to be false. He claims to have been taken both backward and forward in time by the Pleiadians, and their allies the Dulls, to view various events. This contact has caused major controversy since it was revealed. Mayer had been provided with evidence, by the Pleiadians themselves, such as a metal sample which was analyzed on film by a noted IBM scientist. The analysis revealed an unusual combination of materials including a rare and expensive element called thulium. Also, when analyzed further, the sample seemed to display properties of both metal and crystal. The metal sample subsequently disappeared, but the film analysis remains. Within the UFO research community, this case is a classic example of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. because it is too easy, it is considered to be fraudulent. When Mayer attempted to construct models of Pleiadian spacecrafts to see if the photographs could be faked, the models were found, and the whole case was labeled a hoax. The teachings of the 1970s from Sam Jase and her associates are now beginning to be more widely known.